Hello everybody, welcome in Kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is How, your occupational therapist, and welcome to OT Conversations. In this episode, I'd like us to have a conversation about two important areas of occupational therapy practice in ICU: sensory stimulation and early engagement. These are often the first steps we take when working with critically ill patients. But how do we really use them? And what does the evidence of our practice say? Let's start with sensory stimulation. Recently, I have been reviewing our own occupational therapy input in critical care. I asked a simple descriptive question: what is the most frequent mode of sensory stimulation that OTs are currently providing? From the retrospective review, the answer was clear. The most common input we give is tactile stimulation. Following this, we also provide a lot of proprioceptive stimulation. Less frequent, but still present, are visual and auditory modes. So what does this mean? It means our practice is leaning heavily toward touch and movement. And while that makes sense in the ICU setting, because patients may be drowsy, they could be ventilated, or they are not yet responding to higher level of inputs, it also highlights that there is an opportunity that we can consider exploring and increasing our use of other sensory channels like vision and hearing so that we can balance the input that we provide to our patients. Now, I want to make an important distinction here, right? What I've described is not about measuring the impact of what we do to our patients, or we're not describing patient progress. That's going to be a much more complicated question that we can explore in the future because it will have so many variables. Instead, this is just a simple descriptive study. It's a review of what we do, and we are trying to analyze the things that we do most frequently. And this alone is valuable. It's always important, because knowing our patterns will help us reflect, will help us plan, and we can even prepare this for education, or we can even share this on national platforms, the things that we are learning from our practice. So the first theme was all about sensory stimulation, and then the second theme is early engagement in ICU patients. Now, when we say early engagement, what do we mean? It can be something as simple as talking to the patient when you're trying to establish rapport, or giving reassurances if they know you, if they look at you. But it can also be doing something. Early engagement can also be doing something. Small actions that can bring the person in contact with their environment, or they can get them to engage with us as clinicians. When we break these down, we see a natural sequence of engagement. So let's break down the engagement. Say you're engaging with your patients. If you break these down, there's just a natural sequence. The first one is the sensory awareness, where you would be providing the stimuli. The second one, after you have provided that sensory awareness, or the person has had the sensory awareness that you have provided something, the next thing is for the patient to interpret and attend to that sensation. And that is perception in a nutshell. Perception is the understanding of sensation. And then the third step, once the person understands what they are sensing, once they have perceived it, then the next higher level would be cognition. And this is a higher level of response where a person can judge and can start to problem solve. That is cognition. And then once you have that, then the person can start to engage. And this is motor retraining. This would be the fourth level, really. And this is when the patient then starts to use their body to act or to respond. And this shows that sensory, perceptual, cognitive, and motor retraining, these are not separate silos. They are interconnected, and they're often influences one another when we are working. You can do separate sensory input, sensory perceptual retraining, cognitive retraining, but the effects of this will happen as a whole. So let me give you a practical example. I've had a patient who has just been extubated. So person was drowsy, he was sitting on the chair. I provided tactile input through the skin, got him to understand tapping, vibratory input on the skin. I even asked him to copy gestures, with my hand for visual engagement, and used simple commands like do a thumbs up, raise your finger up, like index finger, raise the index and the little finger up. On the surface then, it would just look like I was simply providing sensory stimulation. But what was really happening was actually a chain of sensation, perception, interpretation, cognition, and then person responding. This, my friends, is what we call early cognitive perceptual retraining. And this is what it is in action. So if you're thinking it sounds more like sensory integration, you are right. You are most likely correct. Sensory integration was developed by Jean Ayres, but it was initially developed for children. And Lorna Jean King then extended it into adult practice, especially in the mental health. In intensive care unit, we don't always use the same labels. Particularly, we have not been able to provide intense vestibular stimulation, but the essence is the same. A structured sensory input will be given, and it will build pathways to the person, and it will increase attention, and then it will have an impact on function. And of course, sensory preferences, it still matters. In adults, you know, think about you, for example. You might avoid noisy environment when you're overstimulated, or you see calming sensory input like rocking or deep pressure. And these same principles apply in critical care. So where does this leave us? We now have two complementary insights here. We have two learnings. First, our most frequent sensory input or sensory stimulation is tactile, followed by proprioceptive stimulation. Second, early engagement, not just about talking or doing. It is a structured process that involves or that moves through sensory, perceptual, cognitive, and motor stages. And both of these are findings from a descriptive review. And they will help us understand what we do and why it matters. So what would be the next step? So the next step, I guess, would be for us to start collecting more data, going back to our notes, and then so that we can quantify the different types of sensory input that we have delivered. That's going to be a bit more challenging. From there, we can prepare ready a poster to submit to platforms. And there we go. And this is, it's not just about research, guys. So it's It's just practice. It's all about reflection, professional identity, and it's making our hidden work visible. So that's something. And again, part of me sharing this with you in a platform like this is having this conversation so you'd be more aware of what's happening. To wrap up, sensory stimulation and early engagement are at the heart of the things that we do in critical care. They look small, but they set the foundation for recovery. And that would be it. So in the program that I have in critical care, this sensory stimulation and early engagement are key components of the recovery monitoring and facilitation program, which happens around the time when the person needed to be extubated. So that's that. But it can also be used at the program called Performance Component Retraining Program, especially if the person's been in the hospital for quite some time, then that would be, that would take different form, same input, but a different form. And this is because the timeline of the intervention would have changed to a more, I wouldn't say chronic, but they've stayed a little bit longer. So that would be Performance Component Retraining Program. And then if it would have, if it's happening at the acute stages near the extubation, that would have been recovery monitoring and facilitation. All right. There you go. I hope you learned a little something from this very short talk. If you do, try it. Learn together. Grow together. Just remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, guys. Bye.